Good day, everyone. Welcome to Natural Health Dialogue. And have any of you ever watched Schoolhouse Rock? I love those things. And I know the preamble to the Constitution because I watched Schoolhouse Rock.
Cool.
And it has helped me. It helps me to learn like a child would learn. And today we're going to do that with respect to the immune system with an expert who is really good at putting things in a way I can understand, Randy Lee, naturopathic Dr. Randy Lee.
Thanks, Joseph. It's good to be here. I do, I usually start these things off when you're talking about something like that, where I want to make it simple enough that a child could understand it. I get something like a war theme or a piece of music that's got a bunch of fight scenes going on, that kind of stuff. That's really what the immune system is. It's the system in our body that fights for us. It's the one that begins to take care of the things that harm us and have our bodies strong enough to fight off the invaders. And they do that in a lot of different ways.
And I'm a real fan of that because I'm not a real fan of getting sick. I don't like throwing up. I don't like sitting on the couch.
Absolutely. Yeah, there are just a lot of different things that the body does. Most people don't think about the intricacies of how do you get the body to respond to things that are, we call in this case, foreign invaders, things that are going to kind of come in and do you harm.
Like bacteria and viruses and...
Bacteria, virus, toxins, poisons, okay. Anything that might come into your body that could harm the body. It's made up of a lot of different body parts, and a lot of them have big names for kids anyway. They're big names, things like the spleen, the tonsils, the thymus, subsystems that are called lymphatic systems. I mean, kids don't understand those kinds of things, but they do understand that there are a lot of different components to the system, and each one of them do something a little bit different. And so we start saying, if I've got a foreign invader, how can I kill that invader?
Absolutely.
And so there are a number of ways. We can have, like in a battle scene, you can have hand-to-hand combat where some of the specialized cells are produced, some of them that kind of look like cuckle burrs or something, had little pricklies on them. And those cells just try to bump into other bad cells and poke a hole in them and kill them that way. So that's one way that's done. I call that the hand-to-hand combat.
That's the bayonet.
Yeah, that's the bayonet. Just stick them in and kill them. But then the bone marrow also produces some specialized cells. We call them B cells. But those are things that put out antibodies that make an attempt to try to neutralize the foreign invaders by using the antibodies that they have against the bacteria. And then you got a thymus or a that actually begins to try to change some of these B cells produced by the bone marrow into T cells. Those are our killer cells. Those
so it's
are
like an alchemist or something.
That's exactly
one into
right.
Another.
Changing them around, make them more useful. And these specialized cells then actually find a number of ways to kill them. And in order to do that, we have a lot of body system responses that are generated by these systems that most of us think of as negatives. If you get a cold, what do you hate worst?
What do I hate worst? The cold? As far as the symptoms go?
Yeah.
The runny nose is my least favorite.
Yeah, there's a number of them. Runny nose is one of them. You have systems and cells that produce that mucus. I call it a snot generator.
Oh, lovely.
If I'm talking
lovely
to kids.
Picture.
Yeah, lovely picture. But it actually generates these mucus tissues which try to engulf the bad bacteria or the virus or the toxin and just smother it to death.
So snot is good?
Snot is good. Snot is good. We don't think of it as very good. But in our body system's response, it's an immune system response to wipe out those cells. If they are cells that could just simply be suffocated, then the body will produce mucus to do that. How about fever? You like fever?
Not a real fan. I can't be as active with a fever.
Well, but the fever, every cell that we has in the body has a limit as to what kind of a temperature it can operate in. And that's true of the viruses and the bacteria as well. And so if the body says, hey, look, this virus couldn't stand 102 degrees, then the body can generate a fever that'll actually burn up that cell. So fever is a natural response which helps us to kill some cells that are sensitive to temperature.
Burn them out. Okay,
yeah.
Flamethrower. There we go.
There you go. Coughing and sneezing. You know, if you've got bacteria that are in the sinuses or in the lungs, or just coughing and sneezing sometimes can help you to just expel those bacteria. That's the reason that if somebody's in the room coughing, you don't want to walk into where they're coughing, because we intuitively recognize that what's coming out of their bodies is not something that we want to come into our bodies, and so we avoid the coughing and sneezing.
Exactly.
And yet it's one of our body's responses to get rid of some of these toxins. Great way for the immune system to get rid of some of the toxins that are there.
Now, does water come into play with this? When water, they tell you to drink lots of water?
Water helps to flush them. Sometimes it'll drown them. Lots of ways that water plays into it. Another way that water plays into it is, let's talk about body cleansing. If you've got bacteria or virus or toxins that are running through you, one of the most common things that happens are things like diarrhea and vomiting, profuse sweating. Mm-hmm. Those are all ways that the body is getting rid of water, which in this case is also full of toxins. It's sort of like draining the swamp. You get all of the bad toxins and the snakes and the bugs and stuff that are in that water. You get them out of the system by draining it. And
then it's important to refill the swamp?
It's important to refill it once it's gone, because if you don't have enough water for your body, we talked about that on one of the other podcasts we did. You have to have that water, but sometimes you have to drain the swamp, and that's just a part of it as well. So we have glands that produce mucus. We have body cleansing activities. We have coughing and sneezing, and all those things are active parts that may in some way or another help us to win the battle against the foreign invaders that are causing us problems.
I've got another one.
Okay.
Drop your food on the floor. Leave it there for greater than 5 seconds. Pick it up and eat it.
Yeah. You'll get you some bacteria.
To get our immune system exercised, right? You know, run a drill.
I'm not a big proponent of the 5 second rule, although I use it. But the fact of the matter is, too many times in our society today, we try to put in so many antibiotics, so many hand creams and gels that kill all the virus and stuff. Our bodies do, in fact, need to be able to be exercised. We have noted that kids who live in rural areas and spend their time gardening or playing in the dirt or outside where those toxins are, and they can't wash their hands before they eat every bite of something when they pick it off of a tree or something, those kids generally tend to have stronger immune systems because they are exercised. Kids who live in town and live with hand sanitizers and antibiotics and the 5 second rule, live with those kinds of things, generally their immune systems are a little less strong, a little more depleted, and they tend to get sick a little bit quicker than the kids who actually have active, strong, exercised immune systems.
Okay, I was only half kidding, but there's some actual truth to that.
No, there's actually some truth to that.
Okay.
Absolutely. Don't worry. If you're a parent and your kid does pick up something off the floor and eat it, don't immediately go make them gargle, spit, take an antibiotic, hand sanitize, all that kind of stuff. You can actually be doing them some long-term harm by doing that. I mean, we don't want them to get sick. And if they start exhibiting responses, then we'll do something to try to correct those. But give their immune systems a chance to work before you automatically jump to the next present-day medicine of some kind or another.
Okay. Well, we're running up on close to the end of our time. What are some things people can do to boost their immune system?
There are many, many supplements that you can take. First of all, play in the dirt. I like that.
Okay.
Play in the dirt.
I like
those active things which will allow your immune system to develop itself and to build itself. There are many, many immune system stimulants in the herbal arena. There are essential oils that work very, very well for fighting off bacteria. And many times it's just a matter of using an oil that will deter the bacteria, the virus, from getting into your system. Or once it gets in there, there are some things that we can use to take. We won't cover a lot of products today. I'll just say that once you get sick, your immune system has failed. There are supplements that build the immune system. There are oils that build the immune system. And then we get into the area of what do you do after the immune system has had a failure and you've caught something. That's a whole different issue.
So best thing maybe talk to a naturopathic doctor if someone's interested in some of those kind of solutions?
Absolutely. This time of the year, we're about to enter the season where kids pick up all kinds of ailments at school, and you may want to come talk to us sometime about that. We have 5 naturopathic doctors at the store, any of one of which will be glad to talk to you.
All right. Well, we hope that was helpful to you. That's been 10 Minutes with Natural Health Dialogue with naturopathic Dr. Randy Lee. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Randy Lee. We're delighted to have you listen to us.
Hope to see you, or hope for you to hear us again.
Amen.